Translation. Others say that the world, being overburdened like a boat at sea, is much aggrieved, and that Brahma, who is your son, prayed for you, and so you have appeared to diminish the trouble. Purport by Abhay Charan Arvind Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Brahma, or the first living being, born just after the creation, is the direct son of Narayan. Narayan, as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, first of all entered the material universe without spiritual contact. Matter cannot create. This principle was followed from the very beginning of the creation. The Supreme Spirit entered the universe, and the first living being Brahma was born on the lotus flower grown out of the transcendental abdomen of Vishnu. Vishnu is therefore known as Padmanabha. Brahma is known as Atmabhu because he was begotten directly from the father without any contact of Mother Lakshmiji. Lakshmiji was present near Narayan, engaged in the service of the Lord, and still, without contact with Lakshmiji, Narayan begot Brahma. This is the omnipotency of the Lord. One who foolishly considers Narayan like other living beings should take a lesson from this. Narayan is not an ordinary living being. He is the personality of Godhead himself, and he has all the potencies of all the senses in all parts of his transcendental body. An ordinary living being begets a child by sexual intercourse, and he has no other means to beget a child other than the one designed for him. But Narayan, being omnipotent, is not bound to any condition of energy. He is complete and independent to do anything and everything by his various potencies very easily and perfectly. Brahma is therefore directly the son of the father and was not put into the womb of a mother. Therefore, he is known as Atmabhu. This Brahma is in charge of further creation in the universe, secondarily reflected by the potency of the omnipotent. Within the halo of the universe, there is a transcendental planet known as Shvetadvip, which is the abode of the Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, the Paramatma feature of the Supreme Lord. Whenever there is trouble in the universe that cannot be solved by the administrative demigods, they approach Brahmaji for a solution, and if it is not to be solved even by Brahmaji, then Brahmaji consults and prays to the Kshirodakshaya Vishnu for an incarnation and solution to the problems. Such a problem arose when Kamsa and others were ruling over the earth, and the earth became too much overburdened by the misdeeds of the Asuras. Brahmaji, along with other demigods, prayed at the shore of Kshirodaksha ocean, and they were advised of the descent of Krishna as the son of Vasudev and Devaki. So some people say that the Lord appeared because of the prayers of Brahmaji. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om adnyanti mirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshuron militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Saavadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamcha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kant Radha Kant Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ajanulambitabhujau kanakavadhatau sankirtanai kapitarau kamalayataakshau vishwambharau dvijabharau yugadharmapalau vande jagatpriyakaru karuna avataru yuntah pravishyamamavachamimam prasuptam sanjeevayatya akhila shaktidharasvadamna anyamscha hastacharana shravanatvagadin pranannamo bhagade purushayatubhyam. So, let's chant the Narayanam Namaskritya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayo Mudirayet. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on the amazing verse, the prayers of Kunti Maharani. From verse 32 to 35, Kunti Devi is here giving the reasons for the descendants of the Lord. And she's saying, you came because Yadus, you are very beloved to them, and that is why you came. And then she says, because Devaki and Vasudeva prayed for you, and that is why you came. And here she's saying, because Lord Brahma prayed. Now, there is an overburden of demons, the miscreants, and that's why you came. So she's giving all the reasons for the descendants of the Lord Krishna. Here, the important bit, it starts with the in the purport by Srila Prabhupada, is Lord Brahma is not born like all of us. He's born out of the navel of the Lord, and that establishes the supremacy of the Lord. He doesn't need any, he's not dependent on anything. He's completely omnipotent. And that's why he's Shaktiman. Shakti is owned by him. And that's the first principle established in this verse. And so is his son, Lord Brahma. He's also omnipotent. He can create the universe in the same way as his father. If we see the creation of the world, how Lord Brahma created the world, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that in his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the third canto. And in second canto, Lord Brahma explains how he appeared. His tapascharya, and then how he chanted the mantras, and how he was Chaitya Guru Janmadisya. So that's the basis of the omnipotency of the Lord and his son, Lord Brahma. How the world was created after tapascharya, Lord Brahma received the knowledge, and then as a Lord Kapila Dev explains, and in the commentary by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Lord first entered in the Muladhara Chakra of Lord Brahma. And in that, Lord Brahma started chanting the Vedic hymns. Then Lord entered into the Manipur Chakra, and then into Anahata Chakra, then Vishuddha Chakra, the Swadhisthan Chakra, and finally here, the Ajna Chakra. And that's where Lord Brahma started receiving the creation, the basis for the creation of the material world. And then he said certain hymns, certain words with that potency. For example, he said Ete, and then all the demigods were created. And then he said Ashrigram, and all the human beings were created, all the species. And then he said Gauhu, and then all the cows and the related animals were created. So that's the basis of the creation of the material world. And here again, it is the we can see the omnipotency, which is coming from the Lord to His Son, and that is explained in our Vedic literature. And in the same, now here we can see some people believe it's just cotton balls flowing in the universe, but those are not cotton balls. Those are the planets. Now, how heavy Earth is, we all know that. There's mountains and oceans and all the different parts of this. Now, Sun is 1,400,000 times heavier than Earth. That's what our literature, Vedic literature, says. Those are all the planets. They are floating in the universe. And what is the reason behind it? Because there is a spiritual spark in that. Lord Krishna has entered in those planets. And that is the reason they are floating. Now, along with that, there is Jivatma also. So Sun, there is a Jivatma, the Vivaswan. And then in India, if you go, you will see Navagraha. So those are all the personalities. Those who are familiar with astrology, they can easily relate to that. Mars and Venus and Jupiter, and they're all the personalities, and you have prayers for them. So this is all, everything what Lord Brahma and Lord Vishnu has is very personal. The planets are personalities, and Lord has entered there. So like us, we have Paramatma feature, like all the great planets and all the creation, there is a Paramatma feature of the Lord. And when things are troubled, when there is a problem, then as we read in the purport, then Lord Brahma, he tries to resolve it. If he cannot, then he goes to the Shvetadvip, and then he goes to the bank of the Shvetadvip and starts chanting the prayers for the Lord, and then Lord descends. So that's basically the process. This is the and it is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita in 15th chapter where Lord says, Gama vishyacha bhutani dharayamya aham ojasa pushnami chaushadhi sarvaha somo bhutva rasatmaka. I enter into each planet by my energy, and they stay in the orbit. I become the moon and supply juice of life to all the vegetables. So, modern scientific theory and Vedic and the Vedic principles, we will see the difference. The basis of Vedic theory is existence of Lord, the personality in everything. And opposite is the atheistic scientific theory. Any theist scientist, I don't know how many of them exist, but that's a different part of discussion. But every scientific theory is to refute the existence of God. And that's where we have to have that faith. Sudrudha vishwasa. Drudha means very, very firm faith. Vishwasa is faith. And once we have that, and then Lord will give the knowledge if we have that sincere desire. So that's basically the start of the how Lord Brahma started creating the material world. Now the next bit comes is, now Earth is also personality. If all the planets are personalities, then Earth is also personality, isn't it? Bhumi Devi. And as we have the details in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Hiranyaksha took the earth in the Garbhodak Ocean, and Lord Varahadev, who he married to Bhumi Devi. So there again, everything is very personal. There is nothing impersonal in our Vedic literature. But some atheistic people, they will come up with impersonal aspects or refuting the presence of God. And that's why they will say, no, there is a gravitational force between the two planets, and because of that gravitational force, they are floating in the sky. This is not something which is just absurd, but it's absolutely illogical. Can two stones come together and there is a gravitational attraction and that's why they're staying with there? No, because there is no life in that, and that is why they're just stationary. In case of planets, they are rotating constantly. There is a movement. There is something, some activity, as Prabhupada explains in Bhagavad Gita purports and in Bhagavatam purports, that there are personalities on every planet, and same we are here on Earth. So coming back to the verse, we can see that Earth was at that time, when before the appearance of the Lord, Earth was very much aggrieved. She was saying there is something wrong. So all the mothers can easily see how much they love their children. And Earth is our mother. And she loves all of us. But there are some children who start biting her, who start troubling her. And then Earth can tolerate for a certain span of time. But then she will say, no, this is too much. That's enough. This child is making too much of chaos. And at that point of time, those troublesome children, when she cannot tolerate, she goes to Lord Brahma and says, now, please help me. When she's happy, we can see Satya Yuga or the Treta Yuga and Dwapar Yuga, when things were in order, by the arrangement of the Lord, she could provide jewels and lot of precious metals and food grains and everything to us. As time progresses, if we start troubling her, then things get retrieved, and that is also an arrangement of the Lord. This is what, as Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:22, Ananyaschintayanto mam ye janam paryupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam mahamyam. How he does that? That is the he makes the earth potent, because the people who are performing the path of bhakti, chintayanto mam ye janam paryupasate, to those people, tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam mahamyam. Abhiyukta, he's providing everything. He's connecting himself with the devotees and he's providing everything. I preserve what you have and I provide you what you lack. So that's what Lord has promised here. Now, related to this particular verse, immediately what comes to our mind is the verses from the fourth chapter, the seventh verse. Even if person hasn't read Bhagavad Gita, still that person can easily talk about the one prominent verse from Bhagavad Gita. Yada yada idharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever there is a decline of religion, then I come. So that's the promise from the Lord. The next verse is paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Whenever there are miscreants, then I will come to destroy them. That's not the primary cause why Lord comes, because he can make arrangements by getting rid of them very easily. But he wants to associate with his devotees, as we saw in Ananyaschintayanto mam verse. Then next verse is lot of, especially among devotees, it's very favorite. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo vetti tattvataha tektva deham spunarjanma neti mameti sorjuna. Very amazing verse it is. We love to analyze and meditate on the verse. Janma karma chame divyam, my birth and my activities, karma. Chame divyam, divya is divine. What is divine? Which is beyond logic. Logically, we cannot understand anything, that what Lord's activities are, how he takes birth. Evam yo vetti tattvata, and that's the principle. The person who understands that, tyaktva deham punarjanma, he has no punarjanma. He will not come back by tyaktva, by leaving deha. Deha means body. Punarjanma, Punar means again. Janma is birth. Punar janma. Naiti mameti sorjinan. So no punar janma. So we all love that. But there is a condition. And the condition, terms and conditions for all the, we all know, is the next verse. Vitaraga bhayakrodha manmaya mamupashrita bahavo jnana tapasa puta madbhava magata. Now, instead of going word by word, the translation by Prabhupada is very wonderful. It's very juicy. Being freed from attachment, fear and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many people become purified by knowledge of me and they attain transcendental love for me. The earlier verse, Janma Karma Chame Divyam, is nice. But unless and until we have that clear understanding of how we can understand Lord's pastimes, the activities, His birth, is by being freed from anger and absorbed in Him. So, our sampradaya constantly emphasizes on never always remember Krishna, but how to remember by never forgetting Him. So that's the basis, and this is what the principle behind all the scriptures here. Now we saw that Earth is praying now. She went to Lord Brahma and said, "Now please do something. There is too much of miscreants, demoniac people on this planet." So let's see what is the nature of demons. First, they are very erratic and unexpected behavior, and we can see that around, means terrorists and criminals. You very unpredictable. What they will do? They create a fear in the Sanskrit. The word is dahashatavad. Dahashat means to induce fear among people constantly. That this will happen, that will happen. Something, there will be a bomb blast. There will be some shooting. So that's the nature of a demoniac personality. Some of the certain religions, they have that prominence in that. And for example, they will refer the word of God, Quran, which says in the beginning, which is conveniently forgotten, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What does it mean? In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. And if God is more merciful and He is more gracious, then why are you killing people in the name of religion? This complete contradiction. Second aspect or second nature of demons, they are always haunted by the six enemies. Kama, krodha, lobha, madha, moha, matsara. Lust, anger, greed, all the six enemies. Now, combination of those or some of those prominently. And we have six examples in our scriptures. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, and Shishupal, and Jarasandha, and all that. Now, they are always hunted by the six enemies. They are very, very overconfident in their own abilities. They don't want to connect to the Lord. They think that I can understand everything on my own. I don't need help. I don't need the details of the scriptures. The interesting bit is, whenever my son or any children, they ask that, why do we have to connect everything to God? And example is, if we buy a car, what we get with it? The manual. If there is no manual, we don't know how to maintain it. If there is a car, then how to drive it? We have to take lessons. So like that, when God has created the universe, the world, He has given a manual, the Vedic literature. And He gives all the details in the scriptures. So it's a primary manual, then advanced manual, then very advanced manual. And like that, we have Bhagavad Gita, then Srimad Bhagavatam, and then all the Chaitanya Charitamrita and all the Vedic literatures. So it's very gradual process of studying the literature. But demoniac people, they are very overconfident. They don't want to connect themselves with the manual. They think that I can find out myself. So that can happen. They can find out few bits and pieces with their own eyes. But as Bhagavad Gita says, as Lord says there, that our senses are imperfect. We have cheating propensity. We have propensity to make mistakes. And with imperfect senses, cheating propensity, then to make mistakes, and we are illusion, how much knowledge we can gain out of our own senses with our own overconfidence? Not much. Whereas the person who has created everything, he can give a perfect knowledge. And that is another quality of the demoniac people. And that's why there is no acknowledgement of what this creation is, how and wonderfully this creation is made. Then they have alliance with each other. There is another very humorous contradiction. For individual agenda, they come together. There is a alliance. So how can it be? I have my own agenda. Someone else has his own agenda. And then we are coming together to fulfill our personal agenda. That itself is a contradiction. So that's the nature of demoniac personalities. Why are we discussing this? Because Earth was very aggrieved. That's the going back to the verse. Then they are ungrateful. So there are three types of people. The first is a sadhu, who is a Vaishnava, who is a paradukha dukhi. If you are in misery, I feel bad. And then I will try to make sure that you will come out of the miseries. So that is first category. Second is sajjan. They are demigods. If you are happy, I am happy. We all should live happily. So that's the second. And the third is demoniac. So you shouldn't be happy. So they are very ungrateful. If someone is paradukha dukhi, the demoniac person will be saying, no. I want to see everybody in misery. Another quality is they're very proud. And obviously, pride comes. Sripad Madhvacharya in his commentary on Vedanta Sutra called Paribhasha Sutra, he gives a very graphical explanation of pride. He says, pride is like a stool. It stings, it's horrible, it's abominable. And as soon as you throw it out, it will come back. Because it's within us. We will create it constantly. Because we will think that I am somebody who is great. So, Sripad Madhvacharya gives a very graphical and very heavy examples or the explanation of pride. So, again, coming back to the nature of demons, they are very proud. And obviously, it's very obnoxious. And that brings arrogance. Sometimes people will think that pride is okay because Atmavan Manyate Jagat. I have pride, so someone else has pride, so that's acceptable. But that is again the alliance for the individual agenda, which really doesn't make sense. And then they take pleasure in disturbing devotees. Shri Shri Radha Gokulanda Bhagwan ki jai, Shitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. So they take pleasure in disturbing the devotional activities. That's another nature of demons, demoniac people. If someone is doing some devotional act, we can refer back in our scriptures. All the demons, they were disturbing the yajna performed by the devotees and all the sadhus. All the rishi munis were getting disturbed. So that is all the nature of demons. So in Niti Shastra, there is a 13th verse which describes the nature of demons. And it's very, very interesting verse. We can relate to the example given in this purport of Kamsa, how his nature was. And we have quite a few around us in the world now. So the verse is, Yesham na vidya na tapona danam na jnanam na shilam na guno na dharmaha te mrutyuloke bhuvibhara bhutaha manushya rupena mrugascharanti. Yesham na vidya, those people who don't have proper knowledge, vidya, the connection with the spiritual knowledge. Na tapo, who don't have a tendency of austerities. Yeah, na tapo. Na danam, they don't have proper generosity. Na jnanam, right type of attitude to gain the knowledge, they don't have. Na jnanam. Na shilam, they don't have proper character. It is all, if we can connect this as a general philanthropic activity, then we'll get bit bewildered. But Vyasadeva gives this in connection with the devotional activities. Na vidya, na jnanam, na jnanam, na shilam, na guno, na dharmaha. They don't have any proper qualities, devotional qualities. And obviously, because of that, they cannot follow the right path of dharma, righteous path of dharma. Te mrutyuloke bhuvibhara bhutaha. Mrutyulok is earth. They're just bharavataranya. We have just chanted the words. Bhar means burden. Te mrutyuloke. On this earth, they are just a burden. Bhuvibhara bhutaha. All the living entities is just a burden. Manushya rupena mrugascharanti. In the form of human being, they are just loitering here and there. Mruga means deer. Charanti, chara means moving. Achara is non-moving. So, in the form of human beings, they are just moving, loitering here and there. So, why there is a reference of mruga? If we see deers in a forest, they are in abundance. You will see them everywhere. If you go to especially southern India, Madhumalai and all the wildlife sanctuaries and nature parks, you will see deers everywhere. You don't have to make a lot of efforts to see deers. And they can get food in abundance. They can just keep grazing everywhere, eating, sleeping. Whenever there is a night, they will find some shelter in the corner and they will take a rest. They breed in abundance, mating, and they are always fearful. Because some tiger will come, some predator will come, and that will try to devour them. So, here, Vyasadeva is saying, Manushya rupena mrugascharanti. Now, we can correlate to that. Like deers, these people are also just loitering here and there, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Very simple. So, that's what the nature of demons is. Now, the next part we will see is... Lord Brahma is a devotee, and when Bhumi Devi is going to Lord Brahma, he is, because he is a devotee, he can easily grasp, absorb what Bhumi Devi is trying to tell him. So let's see what is the nature of devotee. Lord Brahma is our Acharya, he's the our Sampradaya is Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Vishnu Sampradaya. So he's ready to suffer for others, and we can see in case of Srila Haridas Thakur, he was ready to suffer for others when he was serving the Lord, who is Lord Brahma himself. He is always in a mood to serve. Lord Brahma is always in a mood to serve. So, even if he received a heavy chastisement in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, but it's a bit of an esoteric topic, because gopis wanted to associate with the Lord, and that is why Lord Brahma did this Brahma Vimohan Leela. It's a topic in itself. But he is always in a mood to serve the Lord. Then, he encourages everyone for the devotional activities. Or all the devotees, for that matter. They encourage each other for the devotional activities. They are pleased by others' progress. Exactly opposite to what we went through the demoniac activities. If someone else is progressing very well, they take pleasure in that. Very nice. Wonderful. They appreciate good qualities in all. Even if somebody is non-devotee, still the person, the devotee will appreciate. Oh, wonderful. Very nice. Great qualities. Example is Yudhishthir Maharaj in Mahabharata. So he could appreciate great qualities in everybody. He couldn't find a bad person when Lord asked him to. And opposite is Duryodhan in the demoniac nature. They all have an immense sense of gratitude. Very important. When you have that humility, when you are humble, then only you will have that immense sense of gratitude. And the exchanges between devotees are very nice, very pleasing. Dadati pratigrahanati guhyam akhyati pruchyati bhunkte bhojayate chaiva shadvidam pritilakshanam. Dadati, giving and accepting the gifts, pratigrahanati guhyam akhyati pruchyati. They will confidentially, they will share their secrets with the other devotees and they will listen to that, reciprocate. Bhunkte bhojayate chaiva, they will feed prasadam to each other and accept prasadam. Shadvidham Priti Lakshanam. And those six amazing qualities. Srila Giriraj Maharaj says, he says in his lectures, the basic material happiness starts with sweet relationship and natural products. Very simple. He says, then comes if we add that with the or dovetail with the spiritual qualities, then there is a pleasure. We don't have to make excessive endeavors for the pleasure on his own. It's all simplified. And Lord Brahma, being a father of all, has a great responsibility on his shoulder. So what is that great responsibility? He wants everyone to be happy. So as Prabhupada said, earlier, all Kalau Shudra Sambhava, all the people in this world are fourth class, Shudra. And what we want is all the Brahman. Lord Brahma wants everyone as a first class devotee who is Brahman in a mode of goodness. And he wants everyone to go back to Vaikuntha, to the abode of the Lord. If not going back to Godhead, at least he wants people to be happy in the material world. How people can be happy? By following the Vedic literature, which is given to him by the Lord. Now, he gives Vedic knowledge according to our desire. So, the Lord gives Vedic knowledge according to our desire. And so that we can be a first class devotees and going back to him. So Vedic knowledge has, it's very, if we try to understand the details of the Vedic knowledge, it's very mystical. The same verse will give us the understanding of how to remain happy in the material world. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jathara shayanam. Even if we accept that, yes, I want to remain here, but still, Vedic knowledge will tell you, be pious, perform pious activities and enjoy your fictitious independence in the material world. But the same verse will tell you, it will give you the glimpse that you can't be perpetually happy. You can't be eternally happy. Your happiness is temporary. The same verse. So now, as per our interest, we will say, okay, I'm okay, I'm happy with temporary happiness. So yeah, so be it, no problem. Perform Vedic sacrifices, perform yajna, and then worship demigods, and then you will be happy. So Lord Brahma is giving us that mystical Vedic knowledge. Whatever our desire is, it will get fulfilled. It will get fulfilled by that proper Vedic knowledge. So even for that, we need Brahminical qualities. The demoniac qualities will not make us happy, because that will is the alliance for individual agenda will be alliance for individual miseries and collective miseries as well, and that's what Bhumidevi is praying here. Result of Brahminical qualities is devotees happily accept inconvenience for the pleasure of other devotees. Example is, if some devotee is progressing very well, but at some point of time he needs help, that devotee will spare his money, his time, and make sure that the devotee progresses quite well. We all have these experiences. He loves to live very simple and austere life. The verse by Rishabhdev Maharaj to his sons, Nayam deho deho bhajam narloke, kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujamye, tapodivyam putrakayena sattvam, shuddhet yasmat brahma saukhyanatvanantam. He says that fulfilling the senses, the desires of the senses, that even stool eaters, hogs do. So that's not a great thing. But the purpose of human life is tapodivyam putrika, divya, divine austerities. Which is, what are those divine austerities which are given in the scriptures? Austerities on our own will be for sense gratification. But austerities given by the Lord in the scriptures is not for sense gratification. Is to gain something lot higher than what we can imagine. Tapodivyam putrika. To his sons he is saying, yena sattvam, in a mode of goodness, shuddhet yasmat brahma saukhyena, that will purify, shuddhata, yasmat brahma saukhya, which is the eternal happiness, tva anantam, which is unlimited. So that is the nature of the devotee. He wants everyone to be happy. And then for that, it's like if father sees something his son is doing wrong, then there will be chastisement, but that will be out of love. If devotees are chastising other devotees, that is usually for the welfare. But in case of demons, that is for the selfishness. And in this age, Lord Chaitanya has made the process of devotional service, how to be a devotee, is very simple. ABCD. Association of devotees, books, chanting, and diet. Very simple. It fulfills our basic propensities. In the age of Kali, Manda Sumanda Matayo, Manda Bhagya Yupadruta, we have a tendency to gossip, to chant, to chant our own glories. So Lord Chaitanya says, no. Chant the holy name and chant the glories of the Lord. So that's very essential. Then our tendency to socialize. So why not associate with devotees? Simple. Yeah. Then he says, you have propensity to fulfill the desire of our tongue. So have sumptuous prasadam. And we want to, like we said, manushya rupena mrugascharanti. We want to move around and tendency to dance and sing. So why not sing for the Lord and dance for the kirtan? So fulfill basic propensities. Lord Chaitanya has made it so simple. And our Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, has given us the simple process of what and how to follow. And that's the best part of one of the main reasons I find it's fascinating is the institutionalization of our, in what Prabhupada has given us. Morning till evening, what to do and what not to do, do's and don'ts, are very simplified by Srila Prabhupada. We don't have to use our own ideas and concepts to follow the devotional service. And that is why, because of my nature of my job, I travel a lot across the globe. So whenever I travel, I try to find the nearest temple there. And within 5 minutes, you start chanting and then start meeting devotees and you give a hug to each other and they will say, yeah, have you had prasadam? No, I will arrange prasadam for you. Then the person will say, where are you staying? No, I am staying here. No, you could have called us. We could have made the arrangement. So within 5 to 10 minutes, you become part of that temple very easily. It's quite miraculous. Means we don't realize that, but it's the process itself. The institutionalization is so simple. There is the idea of institutionalization is like a prison. So, is came from prison. If the person is in the prison, and if he stays there, initially he says, "Oh, I hate it." And then he starts slowly getting used to it. And then eventually he starts liking it. Yeah. So we have a choice to be in a good prison or a bad prison. We are in the material world, we are in the prison somehow. That's not the choice. So bad prison is all the nonsense happening out in the demoniac world. And good prison is in the association of devotees, which is getting institutionalized, and that will take us back to the final abode. So which is quite a fascinating if we try to analyze how the process given by Srila Prabhupada is working in our lives. So that's the remedy for when we understand that Bharavataranya, the details of this verse. So now the last bit, the conclusion is, we may have certain demoniac propensities on and off if we introspect, and what we have to make sure is to follow the process given by Srila Prabhupada and our Acharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Follow the scriptures and make sure that we don't become one of those Bharavataranya, means Mrugascharan, the Manushya Rupena Mrugascharanti. We shouldn't become one of those. And remain in the association of devotees, remain part of this institute, and follow the principles in a proper order. So to conclude, the first bit is the omnipotence we discussed, is the omnipotency of the Lord. He can create planets and stars with his without being dependent on anybody. Second bit is what we discussed is the earth Bhumi Devi, who went to Lord Brahma and said, "You came here because there were miscreants, Lord Kamsa." Lord Krishna came because of the miscreants, like Kamsa was creating here, and that is the second bit we talked about. Then what are the nature of demons? And we have discussed it at good length. The interesting verse from Niti Shastra, Yesham na Vidyam. Then how Lord Brahma is a devotee, nature of devotees, what are the qualities of devotees, and what is our responsibility in that. So that's the conclusion of this discussion. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If there are any